I think if there's one Christian holiday that gets ignored more than any other, it's not Easter, certainly. It's not Christmas. We delight in those holidays. Pentecost last week, well, yeah, we celebrate Pentecost, but we don't really too much understand it. But the one just before that was, what day was that? Okay, good. Ascension Day. It was the day Christ ascended to heaven. And our scripture passage this morning, although it takes place in the Easter season, it talks about Christ in heaven. John chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, Easter, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, which means the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." So a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Of course, it was easy for those other guys, the other disciples. I mean, their minds were so blown anyway by all the things that had gone on this weekend. They had come into Jerusalem and they fully expected that Jesus was going to be crowned king, and they were going to take on the Romans, and they were going to defeat the Romans, and everyone was going to live happily ever after. And then, before they could even stop to think about it, Jesus is arrested, he's tried, he's convicted, he's crucified, dead, and buried. And as if that weren't bad enough, then they woke up that Sunday morning and they heard these strange stories, Jesus is alive? I mean, how could they comprehend all of that? And while they're all gathered together and they're still going back and forth, "What did you hear? What? Yeah, I don't know. What? Suddenly Jesus is there. And he says, "Peace. Shalom. Just calm down because I'm with you. And see my hands? See my side? It's me." And the disciples, when they gather their wits about them, obviously the first thing they would do is go running to find Thomas, the only one who wasn't there. And they say to him, "Thomas, Thomas, Thomas, we found the Lord. He's alive. He's alive." "He can't be alive. No, no, really, we saw him. We saw him." And Thomas comes back and says, "Look, I don't believe it. Unless I see the wounds, I'm not going to believe it." The wounds, that somehow makes all the difference to Thomas. I mean, the wounds are not just proof that it's Jesus. Wounds are the proof that he suffered. Just like everyone else, Thomas demands very specific things to put his trust, his faith in God. Unless I see the nail marks, Jesus says, see the nail marks? And put my finger, go ahead, put your finger in the nail marks. Unless I see his side, and Jesus says, look, here. And put my hand, go ahead, put your hand in. Very specifically, almost word for word, what Thomas demands is what Jesus gives. Those absolute specific requests met by the equally specific demand of Christ. Put your hand, Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. And for Thomas, that was all that he needed. In verse 28, he says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And that, in John's gospel, is the very first time anyone has connected those two words. Lord, they call Jesus Lord all through the gospel. It means sir. It means one who's a social status above me. So they called him Lord, but to connect my Lord with my God, that was something new. Because to Thomas, those wounds, they mattered. Not just was Jesus alive again, but he had those holes in him, those wounds. And Jesus is showing off those wounds. Hey, look, look, see the holes? Put your hand there. Not scars, because you can't put your hand in a scar. You can touch it, but you can't put your hand in it. Jesus with wounds. This is a God that Thomas says, I can believe in. This is a God who really knows how difficult life is. Now, I really don't know, because I've grown up in the church, I really don't know what I would have expected of a God who suffered what Jesus did and then rose from the dead. But in my mind, I think that I would picture him with the wounds all gone, with no holes. This is so utterly out of the realm of my thinking that my mind just sticks there. I mean, from the other three gospels, you don't have an inkling that the resurrected Lord has wounds. And there he is, with holes. At God's right hand, Jesus, I can just imagine the angels trying to peek around the corner to see, does he really hit? Can you believe it? Not even God gets through human existence without wounds. Not even God gets through human existence without injury. And to me, it's one of the most profound statements about the resurrection. I mean, human existence is difficult. You don't have to live too many years to understand that. Thomas, whose nickname was the Doubter, no doubt came about that, honestly. You get burned a few times and you start doubting things, and you have to see them before you'll believe them. Thomas knew full well that to be a human being meant that you were filled with need. From the moment we're born, we need somebody to feed us, somebody to change us, somebody to love us, somebody to do everything for us. And yeah, as we grow older, we can do some things for ourselves, but our basic needs, they never end. Love, food, water, acceptance. And sometimes it hurts us because those needs, those hurts are unmet. And that's how we go through life. Moving from one injury to the next, trying to make it, trying to survive, trying to cope. And every one of us can understand those feelings. Every one of us has the same experience. I'm in my 70s now. And I've learned, to my dismay, that a 70-year-old body does not function like a 30-year-old body. And there are still some times when, even though it shouldn't surprise me anymore, it still does, and it makes me angry. Doggone it, I just can't do that anymore. Yeah. You see, I don't think I could have preached this sermon when I was in my 20s. Because then you're still invincible. You got the world. And as you grow older, it begins to take its toll on you. The injuries to the body that never quite heal. The injuries to our persons, to our psyches. We think of the people who have sinned against us and caused such pain that we really hope we never encounter them again. Because it just hurts too much. The relationships that we worked so hard on that never went anywhere. And we have those hurts. The sins that we've committed against other people, and we'd rather not even think about them, because every time we do, it kind of gets us in the gut. And we think, oh, what a fool I was. How badly I hurt someone else. And if you've ever watched a loved one struggling with the last breaths of life, you know, like Thomas did, these losses, these pains, these tears, we don't get through life unscathed. And then we look at Jesus. He's got the wounds too. He's got them. And you know, the wounds that he suffers are somehow transformed. And they become a badge of honor. Thomas, look. Stick your fingers in there. Go ahead. Stick your hand in my side. So, one more time, let's go back to Jesus. And see those wounds, a resurrected body, perfected, made new, dwelling at God's right hand throughout eternity. And I cannot quite grasp it, but I can spiritually accept it, that when I come face to face with Christ, those holes will be there. He will still have those wounds. And for me, those things will stand out. I mean, when everything else is perfect and you see something that looks to you imperfect, it stands out. There's our God with holes. Not even God gets through human existence unscathed. And somehow they're not a sign of defeat, of loss. They're, like I said, a badge of honor. And I think John includes this scene in his gospel to tell us something very profound about this Word made flesh. Says John chapter 13 says, Jesus now showed them the full extent of his love. And yeah, I don't think it was washing the disciples' feet. I think it was more than that. It was, watch me, I'm going to the cross to take your sins upon me forever. I think it was Jesus saying, I too will be buried. And even when I'm resurrected, I will still have this. I carry my humanness with me throughout eternity. And that is the full extent of my love. I have become so united with you, human being. Now, not just humanity as a whole, but each one of us. I've become so united with you that I carry your scars in my body too. And if I remember my wounds, I will remember yours. And then the scene closes with the last few verses of this chapter, John saying, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you will have life in his name. From the very beginning of the gospel, John has emphasized the fact that Jesus is fully and totally and absolutely human. In chapter 1, when he says the word became flesh, there are many different Greek words he could have used for the word flesh, but he used the grossest, if you will. The word means the word became blood and guts, bowels and bladders. That's who he was. He became that, and he showed throughout his entire life, I am fully and absolutely and completely human. His is the only gospel that has Jesus on the cross saying, I'm thirsty. And there he is in heaven. Still, the word made flesh. Because like the rest of us, once you put on humanity, you can't take it off. You're a human being forever. Throughout this life, and from what I read in the scripture, throughout eternity, I will be human. And oh, so will God. Here is a God who has taken humanity on himself and kept it. And you know, I think sometimes it's important to consider things like this because we tend to have wrong expectations. We think that because Christ rose from the dead, already everything is made new. But then you look back at life and you realize, no, this isn't new. Not in any good sense of the word. We still have wars. We still have starvation. We still have refugees. We still have hurts. We still have pains. But if death has been swallowed up in victory, then why this? Why do I still hurt? Why do I still suffer those old wounds? Why do I leave here still hurting? These things won't be gone tomorrow. Not any more than Jesus' wounds were gone the next day. But they're changed. Jesus, yeah, he was wounded, but somehow it's been transformed. It's a thing of glory. It's a badge of honor. It's something that he can proudly show off to his disciples so that they'll believe. Look, see the wounds, see the hurts. Now they're changed into a symbol of identity, of recognition. You want to know who Jesus Christ is? Look at the holes. And I think just as Jesus took those wounds and transformed them into a thing of beauty, he calls us to do the same thing with the hurts that we've received, the pains that we've endured. Peel off those bandages and let the Easter Christ, wounded himself, take a look at them and begin to transform them. See, I don't think God's desire is that when I get to heaven, all of the hurts that I've endured, all of the suffering that I've had, all of that will be all gone. I think it will be the identifier of who I am. Because those things have shaped you, and they are, for better or worse, who you are. They've helped you become the person that you are. You can't get away from them. And God wouldn't do that anyway. He wouldn't want to. He wants to transform them. So all of the suffering, all of the struggle, all of the pain that I've endured, he wants to somehow transform. And someday I will see the person that he made me to be. Thomas, after Jesus said to him, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. See, this is a God I can believe in. This is not a God who says, wipe it all away, that's okay. This is a God who says, no, I'll take it. I'll fix it. I'll transform it. And so you become the person that I meant you to be. And when I see him face to face, I will see. Not only do I have wounds, so does my God. Will you join me in prayer? Father, transform our hurts and our wounds and our being battered and bashed by the world and by its people and by the circumstances that we've encountered and the tragedies that we've endured. Transform these things until we become fully and completely the people that you designed us to be. Help us, Lord, not to lose hope, never to be discouraged, but to press on, knowing that even now you are continuing that work of transformation in each one of us. And we pray this to your glory.